A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night, or near dawn, and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Perhaps to better appreciate what Jesus may be attempting to teach us in this gospel passage is that we place this wedding feast that the Master has gone to into context. Here in the West, our weddings basically start maybe the ceremony, maybe around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, pictures, dinner, reception, dance, and it goes till maybe 1, 2 in the morning, and it's over. That would not be the case in the time of Jesus, and as well in some places in the world today still. The wedding feast went on for days, a minimum of 3 to 4, and possibly even to a week, because people were coming great distances for this wedding celebration. So they would join at some point. Some of them would stay for the whole thing, or maybe for a few days, who knows. So it makes sense in this context that they weren't just waiting that 8 hours for their master to come back from the wedding feast. He could have shown up at any time, within a few hours, or after 3 or 4 days. So perhaps what Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, that our God will come to us at his own leisure. And it is a matter for us to be prepared for when that may happen. But how do you know when it's going to happen? Is it going to be an hour? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it a week from yesterday? When is it going to be? Well, as Jesus says, it's any time. So rather than worrying, am I going to be ready at the right time? Every moment is the right time. God comes to us in the moment, every moment. So if I am prepared always for God's coming to me, to us, it is because it is no longer a second nature to prepare myself for God. It's something that I put on for that occasion. Instead, it becomes our first and only nature, that we are open to receiving God as God would come to us. But there's something else that he says in that short passage. He says that when the master comes and he finds that his servants are ready to welcome him, normally what would take place is they would open the door for him, they would have him seated, they would wash his feet, they would prepare food for him, whatever he wants. But in this passage it says, he sits the servants. He seats them and takes care of them. This is totally unexpected. In fact, no one would be prepared for that. And I think this is equally what Jesus is teaching in this passage. It's not that we're ready for God at every moment and it's who we become. This expectant host to receive God whenever God wishes to come to us, but it's also to receive God in a manner that we would not ever see coming. that it would be way outside of the norm for us and how God is going to come to us and to reveal himself to us and what God wants to do for us and with us. It is all beyond our expectations. As an illustration, let me share with you this story. After 3 years of theological studies at St. Peter's Seminary in London, Ontario, we were then set loose on the world to go back to our diocese, and we were assigned to a parish where we had a pastoral experience for a year in that parish. It helped us to understand more or less how does a parish work, and if we're going to become a priest, what is expected of us? How do we adapt to the environment around us? So when we finished that year and we came back to the seminary, we had a few sessions where we broke down what we experienced. And so each one of us would say, well, this is what happened to me, this is what I learned, this is what was challenging. And it was all pretty mundane. Right? It was the same old, same old. Until one of my classmates, he shared this story. This is how his pastoral experience began. A week before he was to show up on that weekend to begin his pastoral experience, he went to the parish on the Sunday that was the busiest Mass. So he had researched and found out, okay, this is when the most people go to this Mass. So he decided he was going to go there. But he went there incognito. He decided what he was going to do was to dress up. So what he did, basically, was to dress down. He disheveled hair. He put dirt and grime on his face, dirt underneath his fingernails. He was just terribly dirty, he said. And he put on all these raggedy clothes, and it just didn't fit him properly, and there was holes in them, and there was dirt and food on them, and they smelled terribly. And he also spilled a little bit of alcohol all over it, so he had this perfect image of a homeless person. He comes in there with bags in tow, and he comes to the front door of the church, and he is greeted by the ushers with, "What do you want?" And he stopped and he looked at them and he was pretending that he was drunk. So he was kind of swaying back and forth. And he says, "I want to come in here and I want to pray for my brother. He's very sick and I want to come and pray in here. I really need to do this." And he was very loud and very obnoxious and just went on and on. And they were trying to quiet him and they wouldn't let him in. And he says, I need to come in. I need to pray. So finally, he breaks through, comes in, and he takes a seat towards the middle to the back of the church. Everyone around him moves away, front, back, and to the sides. They all move to a safe distance from him so they wouldn't have to look at him and they wouldn't have to smell him. So the ushers then go to the pastor and they say, "Father, you have to remove this person. Everyone around him and in the church, they are feeling very uncomfortable that he's here. You have to ask him to leave." And so reluctantly, the pastor goes to him and says, can you get up and we can go outside and we have a talk?" No, I don't want to get up. I'm comfortable here. I want to pray." And so he was putting on the show really well. And the pastor was really squirming and the people around could hear what was happening. So everyone was feeling uncomfortable and they were embarrassed. But they were actually very angry with my friend, my classmate, who was pretending to be a street person. So finally he does get up and he sways back and forth, and they get him outside and he basically says to him, in earshot of everyone in the church, "I thought this was a church. I thought everyone was welcomed here, but here you are. You're pushing me out. Jesus would never do this. He would never do this. He would welcome everyone into his church and into his home. He was so loving, forgiving of people, and here you are pushing me away." And so the priest was trying to calm him down, and even the ushers were trying to usher him away. And finally he gives in and he says, fine, fine, I don't want to be here anyways. So he walks away and he takes a seat far enough away that the people, the priest and the couple ushers, felt it was safe enough to speak openly. But he was close enough that he could hear what they were saying, and they were laughing. And they were basically saying, thank you, Father, for removing that problem from our parish. You know, people were very uncomfortable and they came here to pray and to receive the Eucharist. And he was just so disruptive. So thank you so much. We feel sorry for you that you had to take care of this before Mass. We know how important it is to prepare for Mass. And that was that. A week later, my friend, he comes to that parish. And he's welcomed with open arms to this parish. So the Saturday evening Mass, people loved him. He was great. He was fantastic, very charming. Then he comes to the next Mass and people welcome him. And then at the third Mass, the Mass that he had come to as a street person, he spoke to the crowd, to the congregation, and he addressed them this way. He said, I have been here before. And they looked at him and were thinking, really? He says, yes, I have been here before. I've been here before. And you did not welcome me. And they looked at him. It's like, oh no, we would have welcomed you. Of course, like you could tell. He said you could tell they were feeling uncomfortable. And he said, I was here a week ago. And I came into this church in the guise of a street person. And the people around me didn't want to sit near me. The ushers did not want to welcome me or welcome me into the church. And even you, Father, turning to the pastor, you asked me to leave. Jesus came to the people, did he not? In the poor and the naked and the broken. And he embraced those who were broken and marginalized, and he loved them, and he included them at their table. In fact, he would even go to their homes and he would dine with them. It didn't matter to him what they looked like, how they acted, how they smelled. He loved them for who they were. But here you are, all of you dressed so nicely, so prepared to receive the Eucharist, that you're going to come up and receive the body of Christ. But when Jesus came into this church as a homeless person, you rejected him because he wasn't what you were expecting. He's not what you want him to be. You want Jesus and God to be more like you. But it's all of us have to be more like Jesus. And his final words to them was this: please, do not come up to me after and apologize for what you said or what you did. It is a waste of your breath and it's a waste of my time. I don't need your apology. I don't need your thanks. What we all need to do is to take upon ourselves the mind of Christ and to see him everywhere. This, I think, is what Jesus was trying to teach that day to the crowd. If we expect God to come to us in a certain way, we will not see him, we will not receive him, but we will reject him instead. But if we take on the mind of Christ and we go into the world with an openness and with a genuine loving heart towards the person before us, it's not about looking beneath the surface and seeing the Christ. No, we need to see the Christ in the distressed individual before us, the broken person before us, the injured person before us, the mourning person before us. That's who we need to see. And that is our God. And to the degree that we take that in, and we take upon us that new nature of seeing Christ in everything, in the moment, then we will never be caught by surprise. Instead, we will constantly surprise ourselves at what we had not seen before, what we had missed in the lessons we had let go of, we ignored. So my friends, when we come to this place of worship, everyone is welcome, just as you are. You don't have to change a single thing until you see the Christ around you and within you, and then it's your choice to change. But it's not about conforming to the expectations of the people around you, but it is to change and conform and unite ourselves with God. Then we have a universal mindset, a heart that is open and charitable and kind.